word is a lamp unto my feet, my guide. Jesus, I love you. You know, we sing these choruses when we say, Jesus, we love you. But Jesus loved us first. And he showed his love by dying on the cross, suffering a cruel death. Love is action. When we say that we love God, how do we know that we love God? How do I know that I love God? That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to be talking about what consecration really means. What it means to love God. What it means to have a relationship with God. A lot of people say they love God, how about you, my friend? I want to welcome all of you. It's always such a joy to be able to bring the Word of God. I want to welcome all of you on Facebook, YouTube, social media. I'm so excited this morning, and I'm going to tell you another reason why I'm excited in a few moments, but I'm always excited to be able to share the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor Josh. Tremendous worship. And I have something I believe very special this morning that I want to share with you. I'm so glad that you're with us today. My text is found in Genesis 8, verses 15 to 22. Powerful, powerful scripture. And there are some insights here that I want to share with you. Again, we're so glad to have you with us. We'll begin at verse number 15 in the book of Genesis. And God spoke to Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth to thee every living thing that is with thee, all the flesh, both of fowl and cattle, creepy thing creeping upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly upon the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built. Now watch this now. Here's the key. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now watch this. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor or an aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Wow! Father, I pray your word goes forth this morning in power. I pray your word will be received, Lord. Your word is a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Your word does not return void. Your word is life, a lamp unto my feet. Speak to us today, Father. Fresh manna from heaven, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, we notice in our text that Noah does something extremely important as he leaves the ark. It's something that sets a precedent in Noah's life. He does something very important, critical, that all of us need to do. And so he leaves the ark with his family and the animals, and he does something that sets him apart. And my premise this morning is this. Now watch this. Noah built an altar. You see, brothers and sisters, every person, regardless of color, creed, regardless of background, Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. Every person has to build their own altar before God. Noah built an altar. It was the first thing that Noah did. Gets off the ark and is focused to do something. Now, you know, as I was thinking about this text, I was brought to the parables of Jesus, and I see something similar. You see, Noah built his own altar. I want to say that again. Noah built his own altar. Jesus gives a parable of the 10 virgins. And the Bible tells us 5 virgins had a sufficient amount of oil, and the other 5 had no oil for their lamps. It was at night and they needed oil. They didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. The bridegroom took a bit too much time, it seemed to them anyway, and the oil ran out. And so the 5 foolish virgins went to the 5 wise virgins and said, "Listen, can we borrow some oil? Can we have some oil? We need it." And they said, "Listen, we want to be nice to you, but we can't, because if we give it to you, we might not have any left, because we don't know when the bridegroom is coming." And so they were a little discouraged. I said, "Okay." And so they went to get their oil from some other place. But we all know the story. When they came back, the bridegroom had already come. Listen, friends, you can't borrow other people's oil. You've got to have your own oil. You can't take somebody else's. You've got to get it your own. Noah built his own altar. You see, I can't build it for you. Can't do it. You've got to have your own altar. It's got to be personal. Your own relationship with God is personal. You got to have your own hookup, if you will. Your own connection. That's right. And you see, it doesn't come in a prepackaged form. You can't go to IKEA, get all the parts together, and take it out of the box and just screw the parts in. And no, friends. You've got to build your altar from scratch. Are you with me? Noah built an altar, made all the difference in the world. And this morning, I've got to ask you, friends, I've got to ask you, what are you building? Now, you think about it for a moment. What did God put in your life? What raw materials lie within you that He has given for you to build with? That's right, stay with me. The Bible speaks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is free. But there's something you need to work out. There's something you need to build. Listen, everything that is as a result of what you built. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you build, you will reap from that building, from that effort. Listen, you want it to be better? Build it better. You want to enhance it? Build it better so you can enhance it. You want a better relationship? Men, open your mouths and communicate with your wives. Speak. Develop that relationship. It takes effort. Oh, friends, stop waiting for someone else to build your altar. Listen, things are not going to just happen if you don't build. I can't do it for you. You've got to pick up your own manna. That's what God told Moses. You want to eat? Oh, that heavenly welfare system is over. Go out and pick up the manna. Don't pick up too many at one time. Pick it up one day at a time. But you've got to pick it up. I can't pick it up for you. Something you need to build. Something you need to do. And so please, brothers and sisters, can you get off the phone? You spend too much time on the phone. Oh, please, brothers and sisters, stop wasting time. You watch maybe a little bit too much TV, or maybe you're on Instagram too long. Maybe you're wasting time. Oh, friends, it's time to build now more than ever. Now watch this. We're going to go deeper this morning. Listen to this. Listen to this. In this text, the flood is over. All these days, months, Noah's in this ark with all these animals. He hears the thunder and the rain pouring down upon the ark as the waters rise. Thousands upon thousands have died in this flood. Can you imagine? Except 8 people. This is a major catastrophe. And even scientists have said through their excavations, they have said that at one time there has been a universal flood. Isn't that amazing? Imagine how Noah feels. He gets off the ark. Only he and his family survived. And he thinks and perhaps remembers and of some of the people he communicated with. They're all gone. Thousands and thousands of people have died. Maybe Noah's confused, doesn't understand. Friends, let me ask you, this is important. How do you respond to God when he does something that seems confusing to you? There's never been a flood before. Well, how do you respond when God doesn't match your theology? How do you respond when things take place that you don't like? How do you respond, Abraham, when God asks you to sacrifice your son Isaac and that's never been done before? There are times in your life you will experience things that won't make sense, things that are confusing, things that might not add up. And your faith will be tested. You see, friends, we often preach how wonderful it was to see how God spared his family. And it was marvelous salvation in the ark. And I've preached that over and over again. Salvation in the ark. God spared Noah and his family. Praise the Lord. But they're all coming out of the ark while thousands and thousands have perished. Drowned. That's a horrible death. This has never happened before. Maybe this confused Noah. Life lesson number one. The real test of a true believer, my brothers and my sisters, is how you respond to God when he does something that doesn't make sense. That's the test. And I want to take you to Hebrews, and there's something I've not really seen before. And I must have read this text, I don't know how many times in my life. But in Hebrews chapter 12, maybe we can begin at verse number 7, George. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to show you a powerful verse. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, where of all are partakers, and ye are illegitimate sons or bastards and not sons. You're not his son. You are illegitimate. Continue, please. One more verse. You are illegitimate. What is the author of Hebrews saying? Watch this now, folks. He says, if you endure the chastening of the Lord, then you are truly his sons. You're not illegitimate. You're his sons. But if you are illegitimate children, if you're not his sons, when the trials come and the chastisement comes, you walk away. Now this is a revelation. You walk away. In other words, you can't endure it. But if you really are with tears and all flowing from your eyes. When you're going through those trials, you're going to come back to me because you've come from me. You'll endure it. Blessed are those who endure trials, James 1 tells us. Now I want to show you a scripture that's so powerful. It's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. And I believe this really solidifies what I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 2, George, do you have it for me? 1 John chapter 2, look at that. They went out from us, this is John the Apostle speaking. These were followers, these were certain disciples, if you will. But they were not of us. What do you mean they were not of us? They were followers of Christ, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, if they were truly disciples, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. They were gone. They left. They didn't handle it. It got too hot under the collar. They didn't last. This is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. If you endure chastisement, then you are my son and not an illegitimate child. And I've allowed those trials to bear fruit in your life, and you're going to endure it. This is what God is saying. Oh, prodigal son, in other words, you're going to wake up from the pig pen. You won't die in the pig pen. And he came to his senses and he came home. The prodigal son will awaken. You'll be able to deal with it. This is what God is saying. God is saying, listen, the test of sonship is how you deal with the calamities of life, the storms, the pandemics. You see, anybody can praise him when he's doing miracles and doing great and mighty things in your life. That's why the nightingale is the greatest songbird in the animal kingdom. The nightingale is the only bird that's able to sing at night, not chirp, sing. Every other songbird only sings during the day when the sun is shining, if you will. But the nightingale is the only bird that sings in the night. That's why it's the greatest songbird. My friends, can you sing in the night? Can you sing when the sun has set and it's dark? Can you sing when there's pain and despair? See, that's the test of your faith. And a faith can never be trusted unless it's been tested. Listen, can you praise him when you're on a kidney machine in the hospital? Can you praise him while you're on the hospital bed on a respirator? Can you praise him when the money's gone? Can you praise him when you're at the gravesite? That's how you know. That's how you know, my friends. That's what the writer is saying. If you endure chastisement, then you are sons and not bastards, sons and not illegitimate children. You're going to endure it. But for some of you, friends, the praise levels don't get so high when it's dark outside. The praise levels, they go subterranean when it's dark outside. Why? Because half of you, and it pains me to say this, half of you watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, half of you praise him only when the sun's shining, the good times. But if you are truly his child, you're going to praise him when you can't trace him. You're going to trust him when you can't trace him. You're going to bless him when you don't understand it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You're going to love him despite. You're going to endure despite. You're going to persevere despite. Yes. You'll praise him when things don't make sense. You'll praise him when your heart is broken. It doesn't matter whether it's dark. You are a nightingale, and nightingales sing at night, not just during the day. That you see, friends, that's what I believe that's what God is looking for. Amazing story of a songwriter many years ago. He wrote a song. And he wrote a song during the most difficult time in his life. He had a child and a wife, and both of them died. And there he was at the gravesite, two coffins, a small one and a larger one. Shortly after that, he went directly to his piano and he began to write a song and he began to worship. What was he doing? He was building an altar. He was building an altar. He didn't understand, why, God, would you give me a beautiful wife and a child and take my family away from me? He didn't understand it. There are times that that might happen to you. Maybe not your child or your wife. It could be something else. With Job, it was his family. It was everything that he owned. But Job built an altar when he said, I love the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away. He doesn't complain, this songwriter. He doesn't get angry or bitter with God, because murmuring and complaining is the devil's worship. When you begin to praise God in your pain, that's what true worship is. Stop complaining and stop murmuring. Look, I know things are difficult, but pick up a pen and start to write something. Take your piano and begin to sing. Whatever you got, that's what this man did. He built an altar. He doesn't use his pain as an excuse. Oh, stay with me. How many times do we use our pain as an excuse to fall away? And I understand, friends, the pain can be so difficult. I know I've gone through pain like everybody else. And the devil wants you to use your pain as an excuse to fall away. That's what he wants you to do, to fall back. No, this songwriter goes to the piano and he writes these words, "Oh, precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on. Let me stand. Let me stand." Reminds me of another chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. I'm going to build an altar, Lord. I've gone through this, but I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to praise you. It doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm going to take my piano and I'm going to begin to sing. I'm a nightingale who praises God in the night. Yes, I'm weak, but I'm going to build. Yes, I'm worn out, but I'm going to build. Yes, through the storm, I'm going to build. Through my pain, I'm going to build. Yes, through the night, lead me on, Lord, to the light. Yes, Lord, take my hand and lead me on. What a song. And my friends, it is that kind of spirit that made Noah step down from the ark and get the wood and begin to build. Get the materials and begin to build. And nobody built an ark. There was no ark, altar. There was nothing like that before. He just went forth and began to get the materials and began to build this altar. This altar, notice he offered up a sacrifice, the Bible says, not a tip, not a tribute, a sacrifice. It cost him something. Yes, it cost him something. This is what God is looking for. You know, friends, listen to me. You know what makes a sacrifice? A sacrifice is what is significant to you. A sacrifice is something that costs you something. It's not something that you have in abundance and you give a little bit extra. It's not a tip. A sacrifice will cost you something. It's a statement of value. It's a statement of value. In Malachi chapter 1, we see God explaining and giving us a picture of what true sacrifice is. The Bible tells us in Malachi 1, as they came to sacrifice to the Lord, some of them would come with blind sheep. Some of them would come with blemished sheep. Some of them would come with sick sheep and animals, and they would offer them to God as an offering. And God saw that, and he looks and he says this. He says, you wouldn't even give these sacrifices to the governor or to anybody in the state. Why would you give them to me? You're leftovers. Why would you give me your scraps or something's not important to you? Why would you give me these defects? How often do we give to God our leftovers, our blind sheep, our sick sheep? Can't really use them, so I'll give them to God. That's not a sacrifice. David said, I will not sacrifice of the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. Sacrifice must cost you something, otherwise it's not a sacrifice. You see, sacrifice is a statement of value. And Noah is saying, listen, Noah is saying, I should have drowned, but you spared me, Lord. I should have drowned, but you had mercy on me. You let me get into the ark while others were locked out. You let me complete it while others stumbled on it. You let me succeed while others failed. You let me survive while others died. Even though I did the same things, even though I did, somehow you had mercy on me, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, but you had mercy on me. Mercy is something that he shows me that I don't deserve. Yes, Lord, I'm building this altar. I shouldn't have made it, but thank you, Lord. I will offer you this animal in my stead. Take this lamb, and this lamb, I nursed this lamb. I seen this lamb grow. Take this lamb. I take this lamb and I sacrifice it to you. I see something, friends. Maybe you don't see. Did you see this with me? I see. What is? No, I see the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who died on the altar for you and me. Noah, we see a picture of Calvary. We see a picture of the cross. We see a picture of Jesus who died for you and me. Noah says, "Take this animal. I sacrifice it to you that." Give it to you. I'm so grateful, Lord. And so Noah offers this sacrifice up to God. He slayed the animal, and then watch this, and then he set them on fire. It was a burnt offering. A burnt offering is made for sin. A sin offering. It's a burnt offering. And Noah says, oh God, I realize if you had dealt with me according to my sins, where would I be today? No, Lord, I'm so grateful to you. I should have drowned with the rest of them, but you had mercy upon me. Can I go deeper this morning? Listen, friends, you didn't make it where you are today because you're better. My God. No. You made it because he was merciful, because his favor came upon you. His grace came upon you. You didn't survive because you're so clever or you've got certain abilities that others don't have. No, my friends, you made it because God was merciful. In Psalm 18, verse 16, the Bible says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of deep waters. He took his hand and he pulled me out of the depths of the waters. I was drowning, but God rescued me. He brought my feet unto a rock out of the miry clay, David said. You see, all great men realize one thing. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh God, it's not by might, by my power, not by my. It's God's mercy, God's grace. It's God's spirit. So please, don't stick up your nose so high, my friend. That's what King Uzziah did, and boy, he came down. Don't stick up your nose so high. No, friends, get your nose down to earth, down to the altar, and begin to praise him. Begin to build with the materials he's given you. And so before I do anything, Noah says, I've got to build an altar. Before I get out here and go on with my life, I got to take a moment and give him praise. I got to build this altar. I got to sacrifice. You know what he's doing? He's doing what it says in Matthew 6:33 when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness." And all these things that you need, that you're striving for, will be given to you. But seek first. Build the altar first. First, not second, not third. First. And then Noah does something amazing. He takes the sacrifice and places it on the altar. "Lord, I haven't eaten yet, but I don't care. I've come to worship. I've come to give you thanks, Lord. I've come to consecrate my life afresh to you. I've come to praise you. I've come to acknowledge your mercy. I've come to acknowledge your grace. I've come to acknowledge that if it wasn't for your grace, I'd drown with the rest of them." Now watch this. This is important to know. Watch this now. And then he sets the sacrifice on fire. Oh my God. I see something. He sets the sacrifice on fire. He sets the sacrifice on fire. Life lesson number two. Watch this now. Once you do that, you can't take it back. You can't reach in and get the sacrifice back. You can't give it to God and take it back again. Give it to God and take it back again. Come to the altar Sunday morning, repent, and go back to the same things on Monday. Can't do it. When you place it on the altar and it's set on fire, it must be consumed. Consumed. No altar! And there's no fire. You can't do that again and again. Does it sound familiar? How many times have I seen it in my life, in my ministry? I've made an altar call and I've seen people, even in this altar, weep and repent, cry out to God. I meet the person or talk to the person a couple of weeks or find out that they're back doing what they have apparently repented of. There you are, Monday or Tuesday, back to what you did. My goodness. You see, what happened, my friend, is you took it back. You took it back. You took it back. No. You took it back in the car while you were driving to work. Yeah. You took it back in your house. Yeah. You took it back when nobody was looking. You took it back when nobody was looking. You took it back when you thought you'd get it away. But you took it back when the audience wasn't there. When the praise and worship and the music wasn't there. You took it back when nobody was looking. You took it back. You took it back. You took it back. Oh, friends. You see, when you give something to God, you put it in the fire. It must be consumed. Why do you think we sing the song, "I surrender all"? You're putting it in the fire. You're surrendering. I love that old hymn. The old hymn we used to sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Consecrated, Lord. Take my mouth, take my hand, take my feet. I give it all to you. Take my life. I put it in the altar. Consume me, Lord. Set me on fire." No altar, no fire. Take it all, Lord. See, friends, there's something else I see that's important. Watch it. You ready? When Noah put the sacrifice on the altar while he was on earth, stay with me. The Bible says there was a sweet-smelling aroma that rose up to heaven that pleased God. A smell, a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, oh, he said something. God was moved when he saw and when he smelled something. God was moved when he smelled something. He smelled an aroma of consecration. He smelt an aroma of honor. He smelt an aroma of love. That's why I said in the beginning, love is sacrificial. He smelled something powerful, a sweet smelling. He smelled something that pleased him. You see, this is all about when God smells honor. This is all about when God smells worship. This is all about when God smells reverence. This is all about when God smells sincerity. This is all about when God smells truth and love and sacrifice. It's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor or aroma of Christ to those who are saved." This comes from Noah. Noah was a sweet-smelling aroma as he sat. But you see, the difference is Christ sacrificed for us. So as Noah sacrificed the lamb, Jesus sacrificed himself, and as a result, we've become that sweet aroma. Amen. My God, the gospel of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 8. A sweet aroma rose into the nostrils of God when he saw something. What does God see in you? What does God see? Does he smell something? A beautiful aroma? Now watch this. Verse 22, God makes a promise. George, give me verse 22. This is incredible. I never really saw this before. While the earth remaineth. So when God said in his heart, he said something. And this is what he said. God makes a promise. While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not see. What? God makes a promise to Noah as a result of what he smelled. What? He makes a promise. God's word came to Noah. Some of these people will say, God speaks to me, God's word came to me over and over again, 20 times a day, and you're living in some pig pen. Listen, God's word comes to you when he smells something. When he sees something. He makes a promise. Now watch this, folks. These words are not what God said verbally. Oh, my friends, can I go deeper with you? These are not verbal words. These words are what God said in his own heart, in his thoughts. The Bible says that when God saw what Noah had done, when God saw what Noah had done, when he smelt the sacrifice, when he smelt the aroma of the sacrifice, and God said in himself, God said to, well, God was moved at that moment. When God saw Noah was on his knees, he smelt something. When God saw Noah broken on his face in appreciation, he saw something in Noah that propelled God to say something. Oh my God, what does God see in you that propels God to say something? He said, God made a promise to Noah that lasts today. I don't care about global warming and all that stuff and all these things. I know that's there's some truth to that, but I'm not overly concerned about that because God promised something. Listen, when God saw the sacrifice of Noah, no matter how wicked they get, God is saying, I am not going to do that anymore. While the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be night and day, cold and heat. Yeah, the world might change a little bit here and there, but there'll always be those principles. Night and day, cold and heat, harvest will come as long as sowing, and all these things will continue to happen. They will continue to happen. God is saying, there are some things I will not take you through again. There are some things I will not take you through again. Why? Because I smelled something powerful. I smelled your heart. I smelled what you did. I seen it. It was a sweet smelling savor. It was beautiful. I saw your heart. That's why David, even though he made a lot of David's heart is what moved God. And Noah's sacrifice stemmed from a heart who was appreciative of what God had done. And that's the problem today. Our hearts have become so cold. Jesus said in the last day, the hearts of men will wax colder and colder. And as hearts are getting colder and colder, there is less appreciation, less gratitude. Oh, my friends, later God says something to Moses, another promise. We have in Exodus 20. God promises something as well. If you honor thy mother and father, or father and mother, honor. God smells honor. Honor your father and mother that the days may be lengthened, your days lengthened upon the earth. Whom the Lord thy God giveth to thee. God will lengthen your days. God gives life. He gives it when he smells honor. He gives it when he smells true sacrifice, when he smells commitment and devotion. Why do you think the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth, searching, seeking those who are committed, those who are sacrificial, those whose hearts are committed. And as a result, I will reveal myself, showing himself strong to those who have gone to the altar, to those who have built an altar. My God, he will give a word. Something will happen when you build an altar. No altar, no fire. Little friends, I'm saddened to say today we have a lot of people who might go to church. Oh yeah, we have a lot of people on Facebook, on YouTube. I'm grateful. But I know there's a lot of you out there. But out of this audience, there's only a few people that offer up a true sacrifice and give true honor to God. Can I be honest with you? I know it's hard, but it's the truth. And if there's anyone out there who hears my voice today, who's got something to be thankful for, don't wait for someone else. Don't wait for someone else's approval. Stop trying to get somebody else's oil. Begin to build an altar right now. Begin to give thanks to God right where you are. Right in your living room or your kitchen or your basement. Yeah, that's where you can build your altar. And if we were in the church today, I would invite you to come to this altar and begin to praise the Lord. What is the altar? The altar is a place of letting things go. What is the altar? The altar is a place of sacrifice. And that's what Noah did. He sacrificed, but he's giving thanks and he's giving praise. Oh, my friends, how we need to get into the presence of God. You can't get into the presence of God without an altar. There's no altar. There's no fire. And I can't build your altar for you. Got to do it yourself. Got to find a closet alone by yourself. Stop hanging around all these people all the time. Get into a closet and build your altar. Oh, my friends, how we need to get into the presence of God. We need to seek him. We need to turn back again to him and give him the honor that's due to his name. Oh, my friends, if he's healed your body, if he's renewed your mind, if he's brought you out of that hospital bed, if he brought you out of that ditch, my God, and get it to the altar and give him praise and give him thanks. If you got something to be grateful for, can you give him thanks? Can you build your altar? I've got lots to be grateful for. Do you? Oh, I've got so much to be grateful for. I've got so much to be grateful for. This month, a few months ago, I had my first granddaughter. And Katrina gave birth the 30th of May to my grandson. Christian is my grandson, and Ava is my granddaughter. I want to declare my appreciation and gratitude that God has given us two healthy grandchildren, three healthy daughters, two great son-in-laws, a wonderful, beautiful wife. I honestly cannot ask for anything more, and so many other things that I'm grateful for. I'm so grateful for. I want to build an altar right now, and I want to give God thanks for his goodness and his mercy. And I'm not only grateful for the good things for my grandchildren, my daughters, my wife, but I'm also grateful for the things I went through that were painful, because I know that all things work together for good to those that love God. I want to thank God for my pain. I want to thank God for my sickness, even that I go through on occasion. I don't care. I know some of you theologians think I've lost my mind. Listen, Job said, I'm going to bless him whether he takes or gives. It makes no difference. The Lord says he brings up one and brings down the other. The Lord says the sun shines upon the just and the unjust. The Lord says that the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. So I'm going to praise him when it's raining, and I'm going to praise him when it's not raising. I'm going to praise him when it's sunny, and I'm going to praise him when it's dark. You see that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm grateful for. Oh, that men would praise him, David said. Oh, he says in Psalm 107. In other words, are you blind? Do you not see it? What are you waiting for? Oh, that man. What praise him for his goodness. Not just for what he's done, but for who he is. Yes, this is what God is looking for. When God smells honor, reverence, that's when the smoke rises. Hallelujah. The smoke, that's when the fire comes down from our hearts set on fire. Oh God, send the fire! No altar, no fire. I don't care if you pray for revival all your life. If you haven't built an altar, there's no fire. You can want revival to come back as it was in Azusa Street, as it was in Wales, or the Hebrides Mountains in Scotland, or in Pensacola, or wherever you want, wherever you've heard and you've noticed in the past. Yeah, you can want and wish, but if there's no altar, the fire will never come. And when you look at the past revivals, they came only because there was a true altar. A true altar. God smelled something. He smelled something. God smells when he smells it in your tears, when he smells it in your praise, when he smells it in your worship, when he smells it in your sacrifice, that's when the fire comes. Oh, my friend, it's time to build an altar. And if the altar's been broken, and you've gone through a hard time, and over the months and maybe years, the altar's been disheveled, the altar's been broken, you haven't sacrificed, you haven't committed, there's been something's happened that has caused you to go astray. I understand that, but it's time to rebuild the altar. Pastor, you can rebuild an altar? Absolutely. Didn't Elijah do that in 1 Kings 17 and 18? The Bible tells us that Elijah rebuilt the altar. There was an altar there, but it was broken. It was an altar there, but it was all smashed down. And Elijah rebuilt the altar, put the sacrifice, and the fire came down. For some of you, you need to rebuild the altar. Time to rebuild it. Time to rebuild it. And when God smells that honor, He gives promises. His promises are yes and amen. Everything changes. But those promises don't come unless there's an altar. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you did until God smells that aroma, that honor. Only then will the word of God come to you. The word of God will come to you, not somebody else's word. Stop looking for a word from other people. Oh, pastor, can you prophesy over my life? You know how many times people have asked me that? Why don't you have God speak to you? He's not speaking to you because you haven't built an altar. You've tried to get somebody else's altar or somebody else's oil. Rebuild it! God wants to speak to you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to do something special in your life. Will you build that altar, friends? Yes, He will heal your heart. He will break those chains, but He can't do it unless He smells something. And so, friends, right here, right here, right there, wherever you are, in your living room, even in your bathroom, I don't care where it is, build that altar. It's time to build. Let the smoke rise like smoke rises out of a chimney. My God, rise up, O Lord. Come, Lord, breathe, breathe. Right in Ezekiel's boneyard. Yes, in my dry bones, will you breathe life that I might rise up again? Oh, friends, give them your dry bones. Build up that altar. Watch them breathe on you. Watch them breathe on you. Yes, God, when God smells something, when He smells the sacrifice, the fire comes. The fire. Oh, God, send your fire. Send your glory in your home, in my home, in my school. Pastor Josh, will you come, please? In my school, wherever I am, Lord, send the fire. In the church, it doesn't matter. In my car, I got to build an altar. Send the fire, Lord. I'm bringing the sacrifice. I'm bringing my life to you. I'm bringing my heart to you. Lord, I'm building the altar. Send the fire. We need it. We need another Pentecost so badly. We need the fire. We need the fire. We need the fire. Need it. Smell the honor, Lord, please smell. Smell it.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
You're making a prayer this morning. Fire today, oh. altar, no fire. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to do something. I'm just going to bow down right here. I'm going to go before the altar and I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to present my life afresh to God. Just commit my life to Him. I want to bow down and worship Him. The first thing I want to do is give Him praise. Will you join me? Will you build your altar wherever you are? Doesn't matter where you are. Will you bow down with me? I'm going to just kneel right here. Doesn't matter where you are. It's not where you are. It's the condition of your heart. What God smells. It's not the environment. It's what's inside. Will you bow with me? I'm just going to bow down right here. And I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to sacrifice my life afresh to God. I'm going to say, God, take my life. Here I am to worship You. Will You do that with me?
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh,
building an altar will change your life. But for some of you, you need to rebuild it. And what I mean is, some of you need to come back. Got to pick up those stones and build the altar again. You got to say, Lord, I need to ask for forgiveness today. I need to repent. I've done some things, and I know that you haven't been smelling the honor. I've left the altar, I've left your presence. I want to come back. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I really believe that God wants to do something in your life, and he's drawing you right now. Don't fight it. I want you just to come and build an altar. Rebuild it with me right now. I'm going to pray with you. Just come, kneel. Don't have to kneel, but sit down like I'm sitting, or just get into a place where your heart is open to God. Position yourself to be able to pray and to rebuild this altar. Will you do that? Will you take the sacrifice in place of the sacrifice of whatever has been controlling your life, whatever has been leading you and drawing you, deceiving you? Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. If it's fear, put it on the altar. If it's lust, put it on the altar. If it's greed, put it on the altar. Rebuild it. Sacrifice it to God. Don't take it back. Don't take it back. Leave it there. Let it be consumed in his presence and watch the fire come. Watch the fire come. Come, Holy Spirit. Give us clean hands, Lord. Give us pure hearts. That's what God's looking for. That's when he smells the honor. Father, I pray for every person that's left the altar that needs to rebuild it right now, every sin. Give them strength to confess it and place it on the altar, Lord. Help us to have clean hands again, clean hearts. We turn from these ways. We turn today back to you. For who shall ascend unto the holy hill? He that hath clean hands. Oh God, send your fire, I pray. Can we sing it as a prayer as we close this morning? Will you sing it with me?